welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 8, Episode 16, and we have a guest tonight. We will not waste much time. We will get to him very shortly. His name is Zach Cross. Jeff discovered him, and Jeff, tell everybody who he is and how you found out about Zach Cross.
I saw the story on your WSB website that he had been climbing Stone Mountain every day for 3 years.
He lost 100 pounds starting during the pandemic, right?
He started May 1st of 2020.
Yeah, that was like the only thing you could do during the pandemic is be outside. Right at the beginning of it like that, when everybody's like, should I touch anything? Should I wash everything? Mm-hmm. That's right there in the wheelhouse.
And he actually did something constructive.
Yeah, unlike me, I was like, I think I'll just sit in my carport and seethe, look at the news and smoke cigarettes all day.
We were laying on the couch watching Tiger King. This is what he was doing.
Yeah, now, by the way, he's running for president. And I'm going to vote for his ass.
Is he? Is he running for president? I thought he's dying of cancer.
Well, he's in fucking jail right now. Believe me, I'll take care of everything.
It's on. You got to follow him on TikTok. Man, I love TikTok. Hey, shout out to our producers. You can become a Patreon. I know I'm thinking about Tiger King. Patreon.com/Tim Andrews. You can go there, sign up, and become a producer. And when you become a producer, you get a digital drawing. And some of those will fly by here. If you're watching it on YouTube, Dustin will put them up there. Or I can do a custom one for you. I'm working on one right now for one of our new Radio Labyrinth Patreons. If you come in and become a Radio Labyrinth producer, well, you get access to everything on the Patreon page, but you also get a t-shirt, you get the doodle and a bunch of stickers, and there are different levels. You can also at $5 and up have access to our bonus content, which we put on there every single week. This week we started talking about Barry season 4, which just debuted on HBO or whatever it's going to be called, Max. It'll be called Max very, very soon. So thank you to our producers, and that is at the $25 level. That is Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely. Roby Neely, by the way, does a podcast, which you can find on YouTube. And the name of that podcast is, Jeff?
Chatting with Daddy.
Chatting with Daddy. That's right. I'd like to have everybody contribute to this segment. Tim Slayton, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, Matt Carter. So thank you guys very, 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 very much. And I have started working on Kevin Jackson's doodle, which wants Harrison Ford.
You know, Matt Carter's lucky ass is in Hawaii right now with his wife.
Oh, wow. I wish I was there.
I know.
By the way, you can please do us a favor. If you're watching it on the YouTube channel, make sure you like the video. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. Turn on the alerts, although it comes out usually the same time every week. So if you have a good memory, you don't need an alert or an alarm or something like that to tell you. If you're listening on one of your favorite podcatchers, let's say Spotify or iTunes, like us, or not like us, give us a good review and as many stars as they allow you to give. That would be very, very nice of you to do, and it helps us grow. Oh, by the way, if you're going to listen to my other podcast or podcast, which airs Saturday nights at 7 p.m. on WSB, this will be an encore presentation today, if you're listening to this the day it dropped, my interview with Dr. Joe Esposito, who not only is a chiropractor, but he also is very steeped in pop culture and music, and it was a fun conversation. I think most of it got cut off this last week, so I'm just going to rerun it, and then it'll be up on the podcast the following Monday. Welcome, Zach Cross, to Radio Labyrinth. Zach, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I feel like I'm meeting celebrities. I've enjoyed your content. It's been fun to watch.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thanks. We appreciate that you watched it and enjoyed it.
Cool. Absolutely.
I'm, in case you haven't, you've already talked to Jeff and met Jeff. I'm Tim. There's Steph and Dustin.
Neat.
Hello, guys.
Hello. So in about a week and a half, I guess, you're getting ready to begin your quest, your trek on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, my journey, if you will. You know, I liken it to the going to Middle Earth and taking the One Ring to Mordor. But
Mordor, the end.
Well, that is true, especially if you go through West Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The trail is only in West Virginia for about 16 miles. I think Pennsylvania is like the real state that you got to worry about. There's a lot of stuff there, but yeah.
Kevin are from PA, so yeah.
Not that Appalachian Trail part, though. We're from the very top in the middle.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, week and a half. And yeah, I guess in this case, Maine is Mordor.
Wow. Where does it start?
It starts in... in Atlanta, well, like an hour north of Atlanta. So essentially, North Georgia.
Wow. That's a long walk. How long do you project it to take?
Well, most people who aren't built different like me, it takes about 6 months, but I hope to do it in about four. So
6 months. Yeah. Cause you're walking. You have to have a lot of time off and you have to, be able to carry a backpack. All the stuff weighs 35 pounds. So you got to slog that on your back. And how many pairs of shoes do you think you have to have?
So yeah, I've got, probably go through five pairs. I have three of them already, and the shoes that I like are, they don't make them anymore. So I'm contacting people that I see with them and I'm like, can I please buy your shoes? Please. because they don't make my shoes anymore, but I'll deal with it. I'll be adaptive.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Well, like I saw, like, you know, like Reese Witherspoon, you don't want to get like jumped out there.
Oh, for your shoes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that movie. My wife watched that. And I was like, oh, this is a Reese Witherspoon movie. That's a true story, too, that movie.
Right.
She's making a lot of crappy movies nowadays. So I don't know if y'all saw that Ashton Kutcher one, but my wife made me watch it, and it was awful.
You know, I was warned about that movie when I saw the poster and it said Ashton Kutcher. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks.
I don't know if you could think of two leads that have less chemistry than those two.
Yeah.
And, you know, a romance movie with no chemistry, that's a recipe for success there. Oh, with
Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher, that's also a pretty bad matchup. They shot a movie with them here in Atlanta.
Okay.
I have a prop from it. It's a cookie jar, a ceramic pig.
There you go. You're going to that.
Yes.
Well, what is your, I want to hear this whole backstory. Like,
yeah, we got to get
to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where to start? I was born. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you from Georgia? Did you grow up in Georgia?
I have a lot of family in the Atlanta area, but I'm originally from North Carolina.
Okay.
But I moved down here about 4 years ago, like right before the pandemic, like 2019. And yeah, it's like during college, the way that the food system at my school worked is it was pretty much a variety of fast food restaurants in a dining hall. And they would give you, you know, $1,500 a semester to go crazy with. And that was a bad lifestyle thing for me, because in the dining hall was a Chick-fil-A, and that was what I ate 7 days a week, or I guess 6 days a week.
But yeah. How would you explain? Yeah, KFC on Sunday.
Yeah, there you go. So I put on like 150 pounds in college.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Appalachian State. In North Carolina.
When you said fast food, that's what I was thinking, because I have a cousin that lived in Appalachian. Or did I say it right? Appalachian? Appalachian.
So Appalachian is technically the right way to say it. Yeah. But Appalachian is what they say up north, which if you're from PA, that makes sense.
Appalachian. But yeah, he lived there. He's worked at the university for like 20 some years. And when I go visit him in Boone, it's like the only places to eat really are fast food joints all over the place. So it's not surprising that they're in the cafeteria too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I don't know if y'all have had Cookout, but that was also
his first one that they ever had. Cookout was there. He's like, Tim, man, y'all got to come. Y'all got to come there and y'all got to try this. I'm like, okay.
Cookout is $4.99 for you can get a milkshake, a burger, fries, and chicken nuggets. And it's like $4.99. It's probably like $10 now because of inflation. But
well, let me ask you, before college though, were you chunky before you went into college? Like, were you always a big eater and it just went crazy when you got in there?
My grandma would lovingly refer to me as husky, I think was the word she would use.
I shopped in the husky section. Yeah. I always had to get my pants hemmed because of my big fat gut. Yeah.
But I mean, I was a really, really skinny kid. I was probably 60 pounds soaking wet until I was like 12. But then I started playing high school football, and I went out to play wide receiver, and they're like, you know, you're 6'2", you got a nice frame on you. Let's fatten you up and you'll play offensive line. So if you're unfamiliar with football, the offensive line is like the big boys up front. So I would, my football coach, and he's a psycho man, he would take me every day after school, when he would take me to like Waffle House or like an all-you-can-eat pancake bar, and he'd load me up until I was about ready to throw up. And so I put on like 20 pounds from that, and I started playing football. And so ever since then, I was a little bit on the bigger side, but I was definitely not like obese, at least not in a sense of the average American, what you would think of when you think of obese.
So the pandemic hits, you're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The pandemic hits, there's really nothing to do. And you did probably something that a lot of us thought we wanted to do or thought we could do. I didn't do that. I sat in my carport and stewed a lot and looked at I doom scrolled. I did go walking, but who cares? You said, okay, today I'm gonna do this. And what did you decide to do?
I just started going on walks. I lived in a Brookhaven at the time. So we lived in like this teeny apartment complex, because that's Brookhaven for you. But the neighborhood I lived in was, you know, nice forested area. And just started going on walks and I enjoyed it. And I was sweating. So I was like, this has got to be some kind of form of exercise, right? So then I started, there's like a mountain. I'm sure y'all have heard of it if you're from the Atlanta area, but Stone Mountain is not too far from my house, and started hiking up that. And that's a ball buster for sure. That one sucks.
Oh yeah.
And how much did you weigh at this time?
At the peak, I was like 405, 410 pounds. Yeah.
A little girthy. Okay, yeah, I could see that would be rough.
And you walked up the mountain weighing that much the first time.
Dude, yeah, it sucked. It took me about 75, 80 minutes to go a mile. And as soon as I was done, I was like, I'm going to Metro Diner and I'm getting a milkshake. And
you earned it.
Yeah, I earned it. So I immediately canceled out all the calories.
Well, that's the one thing about, I mean, my job that I have is I work with a lawn company, and we have to walk the lawns as we treat them. And there's like, you know, 30 that we treat a day. So when I started, I was a little over 300 pounds. And in the first year, just walking every day doing that, I lost 90 pounds in the hey, first man. Year, because I was like 14 miles a day was about what we were averaging. So yeah, I mean, walking will do it. And the good thing about walking, or at least what I learned, was your body tends to bounce back as opposed to have a lot of, you know, leftover skin, and you know, it tends to come back. Have you had any problems with losing that much weight?
Fortunately, I mean, I have like a pretty big frame. So even though I was like pushing 420, I was able to like effectively hide it throughout my body, most of it in my ass and thighs, which is just great. You know, being a guy and having a bigger butt than your wife is always a nice feeling. So my skin nowadays, like I still got a little bit up here, a little bit of man boob just from loose skin, but that's pretty much it, for the most part. But I mean, the elasticity is something that thankfully I have since I'm still somewhat young. If I had done this probably in my 50s or 60s, it probably would still be really bad.
You'd have to have surgery.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm a former fatty myself. I topped out over 300, something like that. And I always made fun of fat people. Like even when I was fat, it was always like my go-to thing to always make fun of myself before somebody else could or whatever. Were you fat long enough to where you could just be funny and be fat, or were you really sad about it?
I think I was pretty good at portraying like an outwardly sense of, yeah, I'm the funny fat guy in the friend group. deep down, like there was definitely a sense of like pain. My friends, in my friend group, there's two Zachs, and I was lovingly referred to as Big Zach, throughout most of my, college, like later college years. And, you know, I put on a happy face, but, it somewhat bothered me. It was because I knew they weren't referring to me as just being a bigger guy than him. It was like, you're fat, so you're Big Zach. And the other Zach, who is, you know, very, very average sized, he gets to be the little Zach. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's a coping mechanism to joke about it, and something I definitely did, but something, you know, inwardly that it's hard to, you know, actually deal with.
On my old radio show, and we're going back to 2009, they lovingly referred to me as Big Fat Tim, and then they even created a little sounder that anytime I came on the air with Big Fat Tim. So I went to a Serbian, ex-Serbian Special Forces karate champion to help me, and then I got rid of all my weight.
I mean, I still Serbian Forces, that's awesome. Like Khabib or whatever.
His name is Goran. Yeah, he's like, Tim, don't be pussy. Let's go. It's hot. Who gives a shit? Let's go. fucking lose weight, okay?
Yeah.
Kind of motivation you need, not, well, tell me how you feel. But you did this on your own. That's pretty amazing. You said, I'm going to do this. And then you committed to it. Even when it was raining and cold, you went out every day, right?
Every day, even if it was 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, there was there was rarely a day when I wouldn't go, even to a detriment, like getting chased out of the park by cops, going when it was raining and slipping down the mountain and injuring myself. There was probably a few times when I probably should have packed it up and not done it, but I was stubborn. I think that's where I've gotten it far in life, is just I'm just one stubborn asshole is what I am.
When did you start thinking about you were going to do the Appalachian Trail?
Yeah. So, I met this guy in the woods. That's the actual story. I met this guy in the woods. And
how you doing?
He told me about Through ID. His name was Shakespeare, which is kind of poetic when I think back to it. But that's
this guy was real. You're sure he was real?
He was real. So his trail name was Shakespeare. And trail names, if you're unfamiliar, is essentially whenever you're on a trail, like the Appalachian Trail, is you kind of take on a moniker and you leave yourself at the terminus of the trail and you kind of walk as this new person. So you take a trail name. So his trail name was Shakespeare. I think his last name was Bard. So like he was Shakespeare around, like as a nickname for Bard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was hanging around a campfire one night, like just on a hiking trip with some buddies. And he emerged out of the woods, not even kidding. He just emerged there and said, like, hey, I'm Shakespeare. And we're like, all right, whatever, dude, like, get lost. But then he started telling us about his experience through hiking. And he had like, some trauma happen to him. He had, you know, lost his brother, and how the trail had been kind of like an experience for him to put a lot of things in perspective. And it just kind of caught my, it definitely caught my mind. And I haven't had anything happen to me as traumatic as losing like an immediate family member very young, like he did. But I mean, the trauma of going through a long half decade of just pure depression and obesity, and that was definitely traumatic for me, even though it was more of a long-term trauma. So I think that's what's been really appealing to me about it, is gonna help me put my life in perspective. So I started to think about doing it in 2021 and finally decided to do it this year. So
what's your trail name?
You're not supposed to take one ahead of time, because it's supposed to be like you're getting one. But the problem with that is that people give really shitty trail names. So like I had a friend who was, he was like Salt Shaker because he had a salt shaker in his bag. It's like, real original, like
a lot of come on,
yeah.
Hey, skin,
yes.
So you need to come up with a cool name and then just use your wife as a plant and just have her emerge in front of people and be like, "I'm going to call you this."
Yeah. I would like that, but I definitely I want like something that's not super weird, like, you know, like macaroni fork or something. I don't
know. Five shoes. I'm gonna call you Five Shoes.
What if it was just like Shithead?
I've heard, and there was this one guy I saw like on a video, he was like Morning Bonerwood, and it's just like a real subtle guy, like, yeah. Come on, dude.
Now if you do the Appalachian Trail, are you looking to do maybe hit, you know, all the ones across the country, like the Continental Divide and Ohio, Mexico?
That would be a dream come true. Those are definitely like if the AT is like the minor leagues, those are definitely the major leagues. They're longer, they're harder. There's less like towns along the way to stop and resupply. There's less people. But I think they're very beautiful, and they're in a different way. I mean, the Appalachian Trail is a green tunnel. It's the same thing pretty much every day. You're walking through a forest that is relatively the same as the same forest the day before. But out west, you know, it's mountains, it's peaks, it's valleys, it's insanity. But there's also a lot of fire out there, like forest fires or brush fires are like a big deal too.
In snow, and depending on the time of the year and knowing when storms are going to come through, and, you know, maybe one in, 10,000 have that kind of mentality to be able to do it. I mean, it's a rough thing to get it as a hobby for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, like, how do you take 4 months off of work to go do it?
that's a big thing. So most people on the trail are either retired or like fresh college graduates. And I'm a little bit of a weirdo because I'm almost 30 and I'm kind of mid-career. But my company's been really cool about it. I work for a tech startup and they're like, go chase your dreams. And so I'm really thankful for them.
That's one thing your generation has over a lot of previous generations is people who are above you or people that they're supportive of you and allow you to do this sort of thing. And yeah. That's new. I think that a long time ago, or maybe in other countries and stuff, people are like, yeah, you need to get out of here for a month or so or 2 or 3 months, go do something. You know, we have this weird mentality here. Well, if you work 45 hours a week, you can take 1 week off.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of cool.
It's depressing. I hate that about like American workforce is that, you know, work till your grave kind of mentality. And I think like my generation as a millennial and then like I think the generation below mine especially are going to be the ones to hopefully break that if possible, but we'll see.
I don't know though, dude, because I work with a lot of your generation and they don't come to work, so and we have to do their work, so we'll hopefully.
Yeah, that's why all the states are passing laws that let 12-year-olds, you know, grind gears and
there you go.
Metal.
You're doing all my work because I'm on the trail, baby. Let's get
right.
But I also feel like it's a lot of them won't put up with stupid shit that we've put up with for years.
That's
for a certain amount of money. They're like, this is bullshit. I'm not doing all this crap for this amount of money. You're nuts.
Yeah. $8.50 an hour to have a failure tell me I'm flipping the burger wrong.
And we're like, dreams? What are those?
Yes. So you were on a lot of local media and it seems to have, you know, gone coast to coast, if you will. I mean, just on the internet, everything's coast to coast. But did you get a lot of coverage outside of the city? And have you had people, you know, see what you've done or see your story and reach out to you, you know, just even to compliment you or to go, hey, how did you do this? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I had a bunch of random, and I'm sure you're familiar with how this works, Tim, is like, the media syndicate that owns whoever posted my story initially, they, I guess, shared it with all their other syndicates and they all posted it. So like all these random cities like Houston and Toledo and like random cities started posting my article and like sharing my story. So like every time that would happen, I would get a bunch of like Facebook friend requests from people in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm just like, what's going on? But yeah, so many people have reached out. I probably have gotten like over 2,000 like emails, DMs, across the board, just of people saying like, oh, you've inspired me in this way, or you've, like your story is really cool. I'm going to be following you. And that's been really awesome. And then from that, like also just a lot of people have been reaching out to me about like various products they want me to like support for them and stuff like that. And it started out like with some weirder products, but now I'm kind of getting into like more mainstream stuff, which is cool too.
REI going to hook you up? And if you, are you going to be on social media streaming this, TikTok, Instagram, something like that?
I would love to get like an REI sponsorship. That'd be great. But I started posting for The Trek, which is like a hiking blog. So my videos are on there and I also just have like a YouTube page. I've dabbled in the TikTok, and I'm okay at it. But I think that it's not necessarily the medium that I was born to contribute to.
I'm just kind of like picturing you, you're on the trail and then it kind of forced Gumps, you know, where like just slowly you start having this whole group of people behind you.
Right? Yeah. I'm pretty tired. And Gump has one there. That scene, that one of those scenes was actually filmed in, going back to Boone where I went to school, that was filmed on a mountain there. There's like a scene and the mountain road is named Forrest Gump Run because I guess that's, you know, the claim to fame for this beautiful mountain is that, you know, Tom Hanks ran up it in a movie in 1990, whatever.
What is that mountain? What is the name of that mountain?
Grandfather Mountain.
Grandfather Mountain. I was up there. I went on that little wooden bridge. And
yeah.
When I was there, there was an Indian pop star recording a music video.
Oh.
It had a giant crane. It was just really interesting. Just out of nowhere, you're walking up, oh, what's going on here? And, you know, it was really cool. Was
like, another place in June, that would make sense.
Yeah.
So is your wife's not going with you, right? I take it?
Hell no. She would rather die than do what I'm doing.
Is she okay with you being gone for 4 months?
So like, if you know who I am as a person, and kind of like, once I get my mindset on something and I refuse to kind of let it die, once you kind of know that about me, you kind of will maybe understand her thought process a little bit more, where it's going to be a lot easier for her to say like, whatever, just freaking do this, than for her to like put up a fuss. But you know, the reality is she's being extraordinarily supportive, like way more supportive than I could have ever hoped for. And it's the kind of thing where she knows that if I don't do it, then I'll be like pretty bummed out, and that's not good.
Now she could meet you in a town like one day, right? Fly someplace or
yeah.
You could have dinner and stuff.
Yeah. We're planning already on meeting, like maybe in Hiawassee, like on the first weekend, or Franklin, North Carolina. There's a few towns. I mean, we're so close to the trail where we live. So until I put in some serious miles and get past like North Carolina, then there will never be a point where she's not like a quick car ride away.
I think it's cool that you'll be out in the woods you'll be on the trail when all the lightning bugs are just coming out, and
yes,
look up and see the sky without light pollution. So you'll see the Milky Way arching over the sky. That's so cool.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that is unfortunate is that white pollution is slowly like making its way into the region. Like it's no longer, I think the Smokies just lost like their dark sky gold status and they got demoted or something. So, because of Gatlinburg. And if you've ever been to Gatlinburg, that's a place for sure. That's the Myrtle Beach of the mountains. But Dollywood's fun though. But the lighting bugs is going to be awesome. And I've been out there a few times, and when you don't have tree coverage and you can see the stars, it's really nice. But unfortunately, most of the time you're under the trees.
So do you have a plan for any cocaine bears that you may encounter? I mean, is there a plan?
Yeah, you just you point them in the direction of the nearest college fraternity, and you just tell them there's your clientele, and
maybe Margo Martindale will be there. You. I got to ask you, Zach, what is your corner cup? Is it Tucker or is it Decatur?
I'm a Tucker guy. I live in Tucker.
Yeah, me too. How you doing?
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I live just about a half a mile from there and on the other side of La Vista.
Okay. I don't want to like out myself, but I live on off La Vista too.
Well, that's
a long road.
You guys could have been walking together this whole time.
What to say, Tim? You walk
what if I like... I look out my window and I see you over here. My
yeah, like at 3 a.m.
Hey, Zach.
The Appalachian Trail ends at, was it Mount Katahdin,
right?
In May.
There you go. Nice.
Are you going to climb the mountain at the end?
If I went all the way and didn't, I feel like that would be kind of funny. but yeah, I plan on it.
We'll have to keep track of your travels.
Yeah, tell everybody where they can follow your journey and your socials and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm on YouTube at @AT_Zach. You can follow me on Instagram at @HikingZach. And then follow the trek on YouTube. I think it's just at the trek. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll probably be able to get most of my like direct links to stuff.
What's your favorite? I don't know what you eat anymore. Do you eat any of the food they have in Corner Cup? Because they have a lot of good stuff.
I like their coffee, their food. I mean, their baked goods are solid. I usually get a donut. Like they have a little donut usually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the sugar ones. I am a McFluffin, I think is what it's called, guy. Even in the summer, I'll say, can I get a McFluffin? And they're like, this fucking guy. And they have to go get the the thing of fluff out of the back room and like throw into some coffee. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I want a s'more in July, but I mean... Come on. But yeah, Corner Cup's awesome. And I know there's like, not to get into the local Tucker drama, but there's like another coffee shop opening up on Main Street too. That's a lot of people are unhappy about. So
where?
See how that one is. It's called Perk. It's opening up where, Betty's, used to be.
That's too big for a coffee shop, is it?
Right?
Yeah. Right. Hot Betty's. Hey, let me take all your money and disappear.
What are you going to do for coffee on this trail?
Yeah.
Are you bringing,
Yes.
I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, there's, yeah, I mean, you can like make instant coffee. I'm not really, I get most of my caffeine from my plug over here, Diet Coke. So that's going to be the thing that I miss the most out on is Diet Coke. So I'm going to have to get some like roadies every time I go through a gas station of some Diet Coke. but I can live without coffee. It's the DC that I'll have trouble with.
Yeah.
But in terms of food, it's really just about, that's always an interesting thing that people ask about is, what are you going to eat? And the answer is whatever has the most calories. So like, I know some people who will just drink olive oil as their dinner. And that's, you know, that's a pleasant, you know, 2 hours later, we drink oil.
I eat pink aloe.
I know I ate a marine MRE one time, and the brownie, the marine that let me try the meal, he was like, oh, you gotta have the brownie, that wolf, we fight over the brownie. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever had. And he said that they would like basically stab each other over to get this brownie. So I imagine after a while being out there, anything is going to taste good.
We'll see. I hate the food on the trail. It's awful. And it's like you're constantly fighting a battle between shitting your pants and also like being unable to shit for a week at a time.
I have that anyway. I don't have to do it.
It's like whenever there's like a shotgun with like the end kind of like melted down and eventually it just gives out.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? What do you have, like a toilet seat? You just sit it on something, or how do you?
Is
this all like a bunch of crouching? Is there a lot of crouching?
You find a big patch of poison ivy and you over it.
There's a variety of methods of shitting in the woods. The most basic one is you just dig a little hole about 6 inches deep with a little trowel, and you poop in that, and then you wipe. And fortunately, the trail, the AT specifically, has the right kind of bacteria in the soil that it breaks down the paper towels or the toilet paper, so you don't have to like pack out your toilet paper. Out west, the ground is too dry. If you bury toilet paper, it will stay there for, you know, 10,000 years or whatever. So you have to put all your poopy toilet paper in a bag and take it with you, which is the thought of that is disgusting.
How do you get comfortable enough to read your phone though while you're sitting like that?
It doesn't even work. There's also privies. Like every shelter along the trail has a privy. So there's usually like every 8 miles, there's like essentially what is a bucket in an outhouse. Which I would rather go in the woods personally. The thought of just like a bucket, that's disgusting to me.
And everybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I'm not a fan of that.
Well, we wish you luck on your journey, Zach, and thank you for coming on the show with us to hang out and tell your story, man, and go Tucker.
Absolutely. And Stephanie, I meant to ask, one of your quotes stood out last week. You said that you were producing large volumes of urine. Are you over that?
I am. Thankfully, modern medicine, it has stopped it up there for me. But yeah.
Have you heard of the P style?
What's that?
It's a thing that allows women to urinate standing up. It's like a little funnel that you like cup on yourself.
Oh, the chinus. We had one called the chinus.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're looking forward to following you on your trip and wish you the best of luck.
And we'll have to get back with you when you get back and tell us how everything went firsthand.
How everything was.
Yeah, if I don't Whitney Houston myself in a bathtub.
I'll do that.
You won't. Maybe you'll find Julian Sands while you're out there.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. But thanks for having us, guys. I appreciate it.
Didn't Julian Sands get lost out west?
Yeah, but we don't know where he maybe
by now.
Appalachian Trail.
He's all the way across the country by now.
Well, Zach was a nice dude, man. Thank you for booking that, Jeff.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, he seemed like a fun guy when I talked to him on Facebook.
Yeah, go Tucker, you know. Thank you to Atlanta Pizza Nero, our longtime sponsor. Zach is not eating there right now, but, you know, maybe after a long walk, he can have a slice. And thank you to Mike Hall and everyone else at the restaurant. Please join Atlanta Pizza Inn's Gyro for their weekly Tuesday night themed trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Now, they have 16 draft beers on tap and 40 other beers to choose from in bottles and cans. And those beers, by the way, have a strong focus on local Georgia and Southeastern craft breweries, serving the best freshly made Greek and Italian specialties around in an authentic retro dive pizza place with a come-as-you-are family-friendly atmosphere. Dine-in and takeout available. Limited delivery is also available via Slice, DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. And if you're a business or corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Gyro by calling 770-483-6228. They are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9, and closed on Sunday. Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for? You need to contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. In Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366. That's 706-316-9366. Or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. So, Jeff, how is our friend Mark Schrenkel doing? He had hernia surgery. He had like 7,000 of them, right?
He had nine hernias, I think.
Nine hernias.
They fixed them all, and he's on the mend.
He is on the mend.
He's not with us this week because he's getting ready for that live show they're doing at the Comedy Club up there.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? I hope it's a big success so we can go on tour and maybe even come here so we can go see him and meet him and all that.
Yeah, that would be awesome if they could take that show on the road.
Yes. Any word yet whether they've picked up a new season?
No, I think in mid-May is when TLC does their upfronts or whatever. So,
all right. Well,
around then, hopefully we'll hear.
If you're a fan of that show, use your social media powers to let TLC know that you want more I Am Sean Array. And they'll probably get coverage for the show. So if they do, we'll share it and everybody follow him. And support him because he's done a lot of cool things for us and we really love those videos. You can follow him at On This Day Cartoons on Instagram. You can also search hashtag Mark Schrenkel. That's MarkSchrankel. And you can go check out puppet shows, whobuddies.com. That's WHOBUDDIEZ.com. And they're pretty damn good, I might like to add. So check them out.
Yeah, we got a puppet coming in the not too distant future.
Puppet coming. Got a puppet coming. Genuinely coming. Yeah, the Red Box. Red Box. That's going to be his name, by the way, Red Box.
We should, if you noticed in the news, Netflix has killed their DVD set.
I guess I just should hold on to the ones I haven't sent back since 2008.
Yeah, they're yours now, man.
Yeah, I know. They've long been mine. I still have Blockbuster. When Blockbuster got into that mode really late, I still have some of those. So, and I don't know why I don't throw them away. I hang on to everything. Just hang on. Digital hoarders. Yeah.
I've been looking for my Clerks DVD cover.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going through all my DVDs. I'm just going like, I haven't watched any of this shit in 10 years at least. Why am I holding on to the crap?
Because someday they'll ban everything and you'll have it. And then you'll be like, oh, these are on the banned list.
Yeah, like I have a Dogma DVD, which is real hard to find.
Yeah, it is hard to find.
Oh, when the entire internet grid goes down.
Yeah, I'll still be able to entertain myself.
Get those DVDs and watch them.
You can make a, I don't know, you can make a scarecrow out of them with the electricity doesn't work. Or just, you know, hoard batteries.
But what are you watching?
What you watching there?
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
We watching.
We talk about Mandalorian. Mandalorian wrapped up. It's was that its third or fourth season? Hard to remember. Third season? Yeah. Third season of Mandalorian. And I got to tell you, I give the season overall a C. If I had to get a letter grade, because I didn't like
it. It got better the second half of the season.
Yeah, but I didn't like the bait and switch. And I really like Starbuck. I'm having a hard time. It's been a long time.
Yeah, Bo-Katan.
Yeah, I like the actress.
Yeah.
And I thought that she could do a better job. That character is so wooden. And there was a lot of problems for me in the middle of the season, but the last two episodes were okay. Like, for instance, I wasn't bothered by Lizzo and Jack Black, but they were, at the end of the day, utterly pointless. And moving on from that,
they've been doing that kind of stunt casting since the beginning, though. Like,
yeah, but
with the comedians and Bill Burr and all that stuff.
Yeah, but Bill Burr can act.
Yeah.
And W. Earl Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
W. Earl Brown could definitely act.
It's not that. It's just, it's like what you had said Tim a few episodes ago, and I didn't want to go along with you because I was really hoping that it wasn't true. It's not. It's the Boca Raton show.
Yes.
It just turned into that. It was no longer, the focus wasn't Mando and Grogu. It was like her fucking show, and she's not that great of a character.
No, they're setting up
the whole, tears.
They're setting up the whole Ahsoka thing, right? With yeah.
Well, they're also making sure that everything that happened in the sequel trilogy has a basis. And so you're seeing those stormtroopers with the Vespar armor. That's what it is, Vespar?
Beskar.
Beskar. There you go. I get it all fucked up. But yeah, it became the Mandalorian. They should have called this season the Mandalorians, or they should have called it the Boca Raton show. And I know that's Lord. But she's, I don't know. That character didn't really do much for me. Now, Dustin, you know the whole backstory because you watched all the shows.
I told you I thought they played it safe. I thought the little Mando on the porch ending was a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, that was a little ridiculous. But at the same time, they couldn't change anything at the end of the season that would leave you hanging because they, like you said, they're connecting this with all these other shows and series. So they had to have a nice bookend on this one to be able to maybe, you know, I guarantee you there are probably going to be a couple of episodes of Ahsoka that probably are like Boba Fett, where they have Mando and Grogu. Yeah. I'm sorry, he's got a new name now. So you got to call him by that new name.
What is his new name?
Din Grogu.
Din Grogu.
Yeah.
All right, this is the way.
I was hoping he was going to say that. I was hoping that was going to come out of his mouth at the very end.
No, no. Yeah, that robot must be run by myself.
Did you see that TikTok video of him?
This was a kill.
Yeah. See the TikTok video of him walking around going, yes, yes.
And so that is, what is it, BB-11? How do you say it? IG-11? That's his name?
Yeah, that's the new IG-11. Yeah, he bought the parts that he needed from... he didn't buy them. He traded them out for his services, which I think is kind of cool because it did set up from now on what it looks like is they're going to be bounty hunters for hire for the New Republic. So, I mean, that's going to be his job. So they could have seasons or shows where they do one-offs and do one little adventure and go out like a episode of a TV show, you know, like
it was in the first season.
Yeah, like one-offs like they had then. So the possibility's there for them to do more with it, go any direction they need to. He's got a home base. He's got a new vehicle. I mean, if you look at it from the very first episode to this episode, he has a son now. They're officially a family.
Grogu's son is a frog.
A Mandalorian. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool that it set everything up, but it didn't throw any big surprises at you. And I think that's what people are more
disappointed in. They set up the Admiral Thrawn thing, but
you don't think
the big Mando, takeaway from the season?
Mando get drunk one night and use Grogu as a fleshlight.
No.
I mean, he is like 70 years old.
It doesn't matter.
Yoda frog. I don't know. I mean, what do you do with a little thing?
In Grogu, in whatever the hell years, he's a baby.
Yeah.
Because they live to be whatever, hundreds and hundreds of years.
They live to be 900. 900 was Yoda. But the way that they look at the time, kind of like dog years, how they look at it, the formula is if Yoda lived to 900, that would be for a human about 90. So it looks like 10 years is equivalent to 100 years. So if he's 50, you know, he's on his way to, I mean, he's going to grow up. There's got to be something where he ties into this whole third trilogy, but you're not going to know from watching the trilogy what it is. It's probably going to be something that happened in that trilogy and they're going to be the cause of it. Kind of like Solo, where you didn't know that story beforehand. You learned it after the fact of how, you know, the plans of the Death Star got to the rebels. So, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good.
I can't wait for the series both ends. Many of them died. Right?
To bring them the plans.
Picard ends tomorrow. Are you excited for that?
I'm not excited for it to end, but I'm excited for that episode. Way more excited than I am for the Michelle Yeoh Star Trek movie.
She was good on Discovery.
Yeah, I don't like that version of Trek. I want to see whatever they continue with after
Strange New Worlds.
No, there's a rumor, Star Trek Legacy. legacies. And that would be cool because that would be for people who don't like woke Trek. Because this season of Picard is anti-woke Trek. It's just like,
here you are, people who used to watch Next Generation. Enjoy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We'll
talk about it more next week. The whole final season.
Engage.
I'm looking forward to the finale of Snowfall.
Yeah, tonight.
Yeah.
I was watching that tonight.
Yeah. I probably won't watch it till tomorrow, Jeff, so I'll kill you. Don't say anything to me.
I won't tell you as a Frank Wolf gets killed.
I almost spoiled a movie for Steph over the weekend, and I want to apologize publicly for that.
What movie?
I was there.
No, I was watching Pearl, and I took a screen.
Oh, yeah.
Sent it to Steph. She's like, what is this? This is Pearl? And I'm like, shit, yes.
I mean, I could tell from the shot that it was. I just haven't watched it yet.
Oh, my God. I enjoyed it. Dustin, you were right. It was good.
Yeah.
Was it as good as X or even better?
I liked it better as a movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
X was cool, and it had funny moments, and it was, you know, a slasher pick, and, you know, you had the old couple and everything, but Pearl is nuts, and she that actress, I forget her name all the time.
Mia Goth.
She is so good in that role, and now I can't wait for the sequel, you know, to X.
Yeah. These A24 movies are... I like them, and I like these series. I like pretty much anything they do. It's always weird.
Yeah. A24 has taken the role that Miramax had in the 90s.
Yeah, totally.
In the early 2000s.
Yeah. Totally. That's exactly what I would say. That indie.
Let's hope the people who run it aren't forcing women to send them new.
No, I think because it's ran by women. That's probably.
Oh, okay. Or forcing guys.
Oh, my God. On Tim Dillon, did you listen to it this week?
No, because I don't like Strabo, so I have avoided it.
Oh, God. You just got to let go and listen to it anyway. I'm telling you, he makes so many funny points, but he was talking about, like, what if they did a flip version of Weinstein and the women were into it?
Oh. Doesn't Stravos get on your nerves? Do you guys like him?
I don't like him by himself, but I like him with Tim Dillon.
Yeah.
He's restrained and they riff on stuff together.
They don't agree on a lot of things either, so maybe I should watch it.
They don't, but in this instance, they both kind of agree on stuff, and the things that they make fun of, they do it together, and it's really good.
Yeah, Eric from Von Hessler Doctrine liked that episode a lot. I mean, he loves Tim Dillon.
Yeah, it was really funny.
What have I listened to? You know, my podcast listening is always twice a week. I listen to No Agenda, which I know you guys don't listen to, but I like it. I like Adam Curry, and I like John C. Dvorak. I like the way they have their podcast set up is they do an entire like half hour segment where all their donors get nicknames and they tally over the years how much money they've given them. They make them knights and dames and stuff like that. But what did I listen to? Alonzo Bolden, is that how you say his name?
Bolden.
Yeah, that comic. He's great.
Yeah, he's on the Harlan Highway. I just love that. I love that nonsense. Just nonsense and fun and just stream of consciousness. I love it. And because there's not a lot of it. And, you know, that's where a lot of that humor comes from is just them churning in their head and spitting it out. I love that.
And that's this Tim Dillon episode. You'll enjoy the fact that he goes after that chick that does the Call Her Daddy podcast and the $60 million she got, which nobody understands why.
All right. I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
Your mom's house had the two guys from Are You Garbage?
Yeah.
They were on your mom's house. And it's funny because
I don't have to hear that.
They riff with Tom very well. They can keep up. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep working on doing that.
Oh, Theo?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up and we had gangs and stuff. It's hard to do that guy. Help me out. Help.
I think you need to just put on his episode of Hot Ones, the one that he did for YouTube. Just watch that over and over because it's got every single emotion that he has run the gamut during that episode of Hot Ones.
All right. I'll put that
on. It's probably one of my favorite episodes ever. My God, is he funny in that?
Yeah. I'll do that. All right. Well, we got to wrap up pretty soon. So, I don't have a staff pick this week if you guys want to give yours, and then we'll do Snooze and View.
Mine's quick. John Mulaney got a new stand-up special coming on Netflix April 24th. I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, too.
Mine is Dead Ringers. the limited series comes out next week.
Jimmy, you're not allowed to watch this. You'll offend people.
Oh, what? 1989.
I'm just curious. I'm curious to see how, if they even get close to
the craziness of
the first one. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The way that movie was made, it was made for shock value and for body, you know, dysmorphia type thing that was huge in the 80s. But I don't know if they can pull that off now. So how are they going to get around it? And that's
I'm curious to see it too. I'm kind of looking forward to that and the Fatal Attraction.
Ooh, another reboot of it.
Why did they remake? That's dumb. I know. It's
pretty good though.
I know, but why?
You can't top that original movie.
No, you can't.
Not. No.
No. They're going to make
I kind of want to see how they handle the reboot though.
But the problem for the people who made the reboot, the problem with the movie is that it made the woman look crazy and the guy gets away with it. And I thought that when I saw it, because he gets away with it and his wife comes back to him. And he did cheat on his wife. And then this woman went nuts. But there were no ramifications for him except for the dead bunny, right?
He went through a lot of shit.
I know
he went through a lot of shit.
But his wife took him back.
Right. For a guy that cheated on his wife and juggled the relationship and the secret meetings and everything else. I mean.
And then the woman terrorized his whole family.
And everything that comes along with that. So.
Yeah. That was my problem with it. But now this will be from the modern point of view. So we'll see.
Michael Douglas, he had turned that ass out. This is back like when he was like total cock diesel and he was just running hoes. So, I mean, what was Ann Archer supposed to do? But she went to find another one of him. He's Black Rain.
Black Rain. I like the actress that's in it, so maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Why did they? I mean, who was out there going, God, I wish they would make Fatal Attraction into a series?
Nobody. Who is going to do Glenn Close better? Who else is going to do that role better? She was such a freaking psycho.
Right.
So anyway, my staff pick is new Beavis and Butthead start.
Oh, season two.
I'm 420. Yeah.
It's my 23rd work anniversary tomorrow.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
420.
What's up with South Park?
I don't know. Was that all there was for the season?
What the fuck, man? We got to look into that.
I think they're suing Matt and Trey because they didn't get what they were supposed to get.
I don't know. It pisses me off. They start a season and they run two episodes and they do one more and that's it. There's been three.
I was hoping it would come back for the new episodes of Beavis and Butthead, but they're not showing the new episodes of Beavis and Butthead yet on Comedy Central, so it's only going to be on Paramount Plus.
Well, God dang it all. I mean, geez, come on, man.
Views.
Or.
Snooze.
Snooze.
Week on Views or Snooze was Florida Man. Did anybody check that out yet? On Netflix?
I mean, Dad, I wasn't into it.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. I haven't watched it yet. And Mrs. Maisel, did anybody watch those?
Of course. I watched all three of them right in a row. I love how they're doing it, how they're showing her in the future, and she's...
Yeah, for the first 5 minutes of the first episode, I thought I was watching the wrong show.
Oh, you didn't realize that was her daughter?
I did eventually, but like for a couple minutes, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
So far ahead
in the future?
The early 80s.
Okay. So she's old.
She's like in her 50s, and she's like a big, huge, huge star. And they're showing like her kids, her kids are grown, or they're like, you know, in college or whatever, and what the ramifications of her parenting has wrought.
Yeah.
But then they flash back to the 60s and, you know, they're still showing you on the come up and everything. Yeah. And we get to see all of our favorite characters and whatnot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was good. And Barry, which we already talked about. All right. This week, number one, Funny or Die's High Science. On Max, HBO Max, which will become Max next month.
A comedic
starts this week.
Narrated by a talking bong.
Paul Bettany plays the bong.
Mm.
It looks pretty funny.
Maybe. You let
Mrs. Davis on Peacock, number two. Anybody going to watch that?
What is it?
Mrs. Davis on Peacock. This is the from Damon Lindelof, the Lost
guy. I don't know. That's my former last name.
Davis?
Yeah. Used to be Stephanie Davis.
I didn't know that was your real last name.
Stephanie Ann Davis.
Well,
and now it's that
Betty Gilpin. Is that the one where she's a nun?
Yeah, she's a nun and she's fighting against the AI.
Margot Martindale.
Looks really good.
Andy McQueen, Jake McDormand. Yeah, that might be something I might give a views to.
I do like that Betty Gilpin. She's pretty good too.
She was in that alligator movie I saw before the pandemic.
It was good.
And The Hunt. She was in The Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good in that.
I'm going to watch Miss Davis. It's views for me. And then number three is Quasi on Hulu. This is from the Broken Lizard cast. Yeah, it's views for me.
I've been waiting for this one for a long time.
Quasi?
Yeah, it's about the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Is it their take on
Quasi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Broken Lizard. Yeah.
Yeah. And supposedly they're supposed to have the new ones coming. They are going to have Super Troopers 3 and Beer Fest 2.
There's
going to be Pot Fest. Yeah.
No. I'm going to go watch it right meow.
Not so funny meow, is it?
All right, Steph, what's going on with Barkville?
I don't have anything this week. Last weekend we did the Alpharetta Farmers Market in downtown Alpharetta, where every other man looked like Jeremy Strong from Succession, all going to get on a yacht somewhere. And it was very nice, though, so I highly recommend it. We'll be doing it again Saturday, April 29th. So come on out to the Alpharetta Farmers Market from like 9 to 1. Pretty much anything you could ever want to eat is... I mean, it's absolute torture for the animals. I really feel cruel having them there because you just smell all this food and then there's like every dessert you could ever want. And there's like this big green space in the middle where people's kids are playing and it's all free, you know, unless you want to buy some food. But it's very cool. And I also feel pretty safe because it is all rich people. So the cops are there. And so you do feel pretty safe there. And then Friday, April 28th, I will be, this isn't even that far from me, Five Forks Ronald Reagan Park in Gwinnett County. We're doing the pet potty.
Ooh.
So if you're in Gwinnett County and you want to come out, it's from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's on a Friday night. It's a free event. A bunch of rides. I think it's no rides. I don't know. There's games. There's stuff. There's tons of stuff for kids to do. Face painting, blah, 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 whatever. And bring your dog. It's like a big... dog shebang. I mean, you can put a cat in a stroller and bring it if you want to. I mean,
or a backpack for the window.
That's on you. That's on you. Well, I don't know what's going to happen to it, but yeah, come on out Friday, April 28th, 5 to 8. I'll be there, probably with some sort of a dog. And if you can foster or adopt or whatever, if you want to give us some money, go to barkvilledogrescue.org. Woof.
Thank you. Keep it canine. And the rest of you out there, please remember to keep it canine.